Hey, this is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And we're with Watch Out for Fireballs, and we're doing it live at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo.
That's right. We are going to be talking about a retro game at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, but we need your help.
So please go to www.duckfeed.tv/Kickstarter. It's going to send you to the Kickstarter page. Throw us a couple bucks. You're going to get the live show. You're going to get a bunch of other neat stuff. And we're not ready to announce yet. We promise you're going to like the game that we're going to do. And we'd really appreciate it.
So once again, that is duckfeed.tv/Kickstarter. And you'll enjoy the thing.
You'll enjoy the thing.
I think you are the problem.
Oh, can you elaborate on that for me?
All the content you make. I mean, speaking to his point, you are the problem.
Right.
It's not part of it. You are.
Yeah.
I think enough people listen to your stuff and are consumed by it that you're pretty much the problem.
Yeah, well, we are. I mean, you contribute to part of that.
You put this on the internet?
You know what? I don't have time to get into it here.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers. Featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Explain to me how you get it on there.
Oh, okay.
No, so later.
There's this thing called FTP. It's File Transfer Protocol. And there's this big computer in the sky. It's called Skynet. Now, there's this little boy named John Connor who's going to be a really big problem for us eventually. You're not taking notes.
No, I'm writing this down.
I don't hear the pen scratching against the paper. There we go. Thank you. Okay. That's all that I asked for, really. Yeah. Ugh. Man. it just keeps on going. No. I don't know. I've been in a very TV kind of mood recently, which is weird. So
that what you described was a movie.
I know. Well, you watch it on a television.
Now you do, because it's not in the theater.
Right. Well, you know, unless they decide to re-release it or you go to one of those hipster theaters that, you know, plays RoboCop 24/7.
Oh, is that what you were describing?
Yeah, RoboCop.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I'd buy that for $1. Bitches
leave.
I
thought it was Romancing the Stone.
No, I think you're thinking of the African Queen.
My bad.
Yeah.
I love Coming to America.
The Purple Rose of Cairo?
I don't think I know that one.
I think it's one of those. I think that's one of them. That's a Woody Allen movie, right?
I don't know. I would assume Cairo. Were all of his mockumentaries about Jews and love?
I think most of them were. It's a romantic Okay, it is 1985. It is a romantic fantasy comedy directed by Woody Allen, starring Mia Farrow, Jeff Daniels, and Danny Aiello.
Is that the kid from Karate Kid?
Yeah. Ralph Macchio. No, Danny Aiello. He was in Do the Right Thing. He was in Jacob's Ladder. He was in Godfather Part Two. What else am I thinking of here?
He was the dad in McGee and Me.
Was he?
No.
I like that by mentioning McGee and Me, you pleased like let's say 5 people out there.
Oh, I'm sure more people know about McGee and Me.
I think it's pretty limited. I think it's specific to people who attended certain sects of Christian churches in the late 80s to early 90s. So McGee.
So basically what it is that it's this kid who has the powers of MacGyver, but is wasting them because he's always tripping.
and his spirit animal is a funny little living cartoon that he draws.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. No, I remember enjoying those a great deal. I don't have any recollection of the religious overtones, although I know it was distributed in churches.
It was distributed in our church.
Well, yeah, it was in the church library.
I say the one. Yeah, there you go. There's a lot of stuff in the church library.
Yeah, yeah. But just like, oh, I want to watch something. Here's this thing. And I remember enjoying it because I really liked drawing as a child, and it was kind of like, oh, what if I had this animated little friend who could run around, and I made him and I was his god. No, my favorite one was when the main character everybody was saying, don't go into that old abandoned house because a witch lives there or something like that. And he goes in. It was basically the plot of Home Alone 2.
Slash Ernest Scared Stupid.
slash To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. But then McGee was like.
Slash the documentary about how we're killing mockingbirds. Yeah.
Oh man, DDT was a real problem. Made the eggs burn.
Right?
Yeah.
It was also the signature move of Jake the Snake Roberts.
Really? Did he have a move called the DDT?
Yeah, because he was Jake the Snake and he had a DDT. Yep.
Oh. Too bad, you know, when he let himself go, all he could do was the BLT.
Slash crack pipe.
Did you know Roddy Piper's doing doing comedy now?
Is he really?
Yeah,
yeah. Wasn't he doing comedy all along?
They Live was a pretty good movie. The sunglasses. Yeah, it's... No. Like, the last...
Is that the new Disney movie with the retarded princess?
Chris.
Just because she's in a wheelchair
doesn't mean she's retarded, okay?
Cystic fibrosis princess.
They're trying to appeal to a lot of different demographics. So this made me a little bit upset. I don't like the movie Brave, but they were making so the main character from Brave, I forget her name, but like the little girl, they like dolled her up and sexified her to make one of the to make her one of the Disney princesses.
Okay,
which is weird. Which kind of runs counter to what that movie was, which was, you know, be yourself, Pixar. Look at this hair. It's really realistic, you know. Yeah.
We do for love.
What episode is this, Chris?
I have no clue.
This is
episode 115.
115, yes, of Those Damn Ross Kids.
I am Chris.
My name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses with a comedy podcast. Man, so is it old news to talk about Amy's Baking Company here?
I don't think you can ever not talk about that.
Yeah, so we had like a bonding moment a couple of days ago when I asked you about this, right?
Oh yeah,
because I know that you're a fan of Gordon Ramsay, right?
And do you know what's funny?
What
is that? You and I watched it for the second time about the same time of day as you watched it the first time.
Oh, like very early in the morning. So like I couldn't sleep on Saturday. We're recording this on Memorial Day to make it to timestamp it in the most boring way possible. So you watch it like crazy early in the morning?
Yeah, yeah, because I woke up.
Yeah. I woke up and I had to watch this episode of Kitchen Nightmares. But yeah, the haters are getting her down.
Yeah, it's the Amy's Baking Company episode of Kitchen Nightmares with Chef Gordon Ramsay.
The U.S. version.
Not BBC.
Not BBC.
Although they do show the U.S. version on BBC.
But do they show the BBC version in the U.S.?
The BBC version's pretty boring.
I like the BBC version.
Everyone's pretty nice to each other.
Yeah, but they're not like narcissistic assholes, you know?
Speaking of which, I went to an Australian website today.
Okay.
And apparently it was some sort of Australian web server, and it came up with the cannot find the webpage error. And it said, we've taken a good look, but unfortunately we couldn't retrieve.
We couldn't retrieve?
We've taken a good look, and then, you know, couldn't retrieve what I was looking for.
At least they didn't go like, crikey, chunda, that's not a knife. But I don't know what a knife is because it pulled back a 404. What were you doing at knives.co.us.au.org?
Taking screaming lessons.
What?
This is unbelievable. 104 knives.
Is that right?
What else do you do at knives.co?
Wait a minute. Let me ask that. My producer. Is this right? This price is. Oh, apparently. Okay. Oh, it's a.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Wow. Okay. It is a mistake. Easy. 15 of you order these sites. Oh, God. I'm these knives. Oh, God. I'm ruined. I'm ruined. You're saying it's a butterfly, not a horse? Okay.
My bad.
My bad. Yeah, it's a butterfly knife, not a horse knife.
Oh. A horse knife?
A horse knife. It's like an elephant gun.
Give me the carrot or I'm going to stick you.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, well.
A sugar cube? I'll cube you up, sugar. You need to do a dog. In this story, the horse's name is Sugar.
Ironic enough that the horse is trying to feed a dog.
Oh, man. You were going to say something to me, but then I interrupted you.
Kings County Bar in Brooklyn wants you to sign up for their first annual Smallest Penis in Brooklyn pageant. The ultimate wet t-shirt contest for infinitesimal penises. The contest will be held on set. Yes. Infinitesimal.
Okay. Infantile or infinitesimal.
There you go. Infinitesimal. That's the one. The contest will be held on Saturday, July 20th at the bar located there in Brooklyn. The event is open to anyone 21 and over. You cannot send a photo. You have to actually go there.
Oh, you can't. You can't pull out like a set of calipers. Like
nudity is not required. Contestants should expect to wear wet underwear, which will be provided.
Having wet underwear is the worst.
Oh, but having borrowed wet underwear.
is this communal underwear?
Just gonna grab a pair out of the undie bowl.
Yeah.
The undie bucket. That sounds better.
The undie bucket. It's just a
undie bucket.
It's a 5-gallon bucket from the basement that they use to clean, that they use for slop water.
The winner will receive the coveted title of 2013 Smallest Penis in Brooklyn, a crown, a tiny little crown, and a generous
tiny little crown for their tiny little head,
and a generous cash donation to the charity of his choice.
Well, okay, it's a charity for solving the problem. Can be self.
Yes.
So is this like a self-esteem thing? Are there any quotes from the creators of this?
No, none other than you can donate to yourself. Okay. You can email SP as in Paul, B as in boy, .brooklyn@gmail.com if you have any questions. So I suggest you do that. Yeah. I have no more information for you.
Okay. For me specifically, what are you insinuating?
Well, you always ask a million questions, so I provided you with an outlet for your question.
Okay.
spb.brooklyn@gmail.com.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah, it gets real hot in Brooklyn this time of year. They probably could probably stand to use some of that cold underwear.
Somebody with like a huge dong shows up, and remember when you were a kid and you'd be like, okay, let's see who can slap the lightest, and then the person slaps the lightest, then you just wail them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, just like, so is this like the ugly friend kind of thing where like, even if you have like an average size penis, you just show up and you're like, whoops. Oh no. Sorry, ladies. Wink.
And that's
you,
the one.
And you say wink out loud, but then you do an actual wink, and you have a friend who plays a sound that's like the ding when you do the wink.
Maybe your dick's so big it can wink.
Oh God! Without manipulation.
Yeah, maybe it's just like, maybe it's so large it's like one of those sea creatures James Cameron found.
Oh yeah, like a sea cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that's like never seen the light.
Oh yeah, that's
something really weird.
Yeah. That is
something so big it's never been in a hole.
Gross. All right, that's it. That's the limit. it's been a while since we've hit it, but yeah, that's the limit.
Have you know, this is the biggest vagina I could find.
I can afford.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, that's better. I love it when you make things I say better.
You know,
makes me hate you more, which is fuel for me.
Which is it's what sustains you.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. So this is the question. There's always the there's always the matter of growing versus showing. So is this just like, you know, is it come as you are, as you were, as a
Yeah, no, I know the lyric.
Okay. Yeah. Is this Come As You Are, or are they like, is this the Small Penis Olympics?
Basically.
Okay. I don't know. That's funny. Speaking of matters genitalia.
Oh, I went to the zoo. You asked me if I had did anything for Memorial Day. I went to the zoo.
Oh, you went to the zoo?
And on the way to the Monkey Island.
Oh, that's copyright infringement.
Well, that's what they call it. They call it Monkey Island.
Huh. Is Guybrush Threepwood there?
I thought of like an urban porn title called Orangabang.
Oh no. Why does it have to be urban? Why can't
it? Because it only fits.
Well, like they could also be like two white people out in the jungle. And then a bunch of black people show up.
I think we made that movie already. Sean Connery was in it.
What was that? Anaconda?
Outbreak.
Outbreak, okay. Huh. That had Dennis Hoffman in it too, right?
I don't know.
What was out there? That was on the other side of something.
It was the beast, and I don't know. I really don't. I don't remember watching that.
Yeah, no, it was on the other side of something that we've talked about this before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the weird pairings on the bootleg VHSs.
It was probably like Space Jam or something.
Yeah, it was like Space Jam on the opposite side of Natural Born Killers.
Yeah. Dennis the Menace in American History X.
Who is Kaiser Soze? I don't know. He's the person who's keeping me from watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, yeah. My.
Yeah, that's funny. So since we're dwelling on genitals, which is another porn, I guess, something like that. Our clothing is not good for our sperm counts, Chris. We wear these underwear, we wear these pants, when in reality the Scotsman probably had it right. The kilt, when properly worn, without underwear, provides the perfect environment, especially with the brisk wind going over the moors, for robust sperm.
What about a corduroy kilt?
What do you mean?
A kilt made of corduroy.
Yeah. No.
Does it have to be flannel?
I think that flannel.
Or are they wool? They're probably wool.
Well, isn't flannel a type? Isn't flannel a type of wool? Flannel's
probably.
Made of wool, right?
It's made of wool.
It's made of wool. which is something about Dracula on the moors. I'm not even certain. But yeah, are you familiar with the notion of the utilikilt?
No.
You've never heard of the utilikilt?
This is like cargo pants for Scots.
Kind of. It's a cargo skirt.
A cargo skirt. There you go.
Yeah, it's a cargo skirt. They are tremendously popular with nerds, with geeks at conventions. When I was at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo last year, we had a running total of people in cosplay, which by which I mean, you know, people dressed up like Cosby, people who had Metal Gear Solid ringtones, and people in utilikilts, and we saw like 7, I think.
I saw like 8 Theo Huxtables.
8 Theo Huxtables. Which Rudy did you see? Oh, there was only one Rudy, but they shipped her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a panel of all the Rudys.
Yeah. Wearing a kilt has strong psychological benefits, says the author of this study. A kilt will get you noticed no matter where you are. Research indicates that men wearing a kilt experience a strong sense of freedom and masculinity. The kilt gives a man a sensuous awareness of his own body and how it is seen by others. Which is funny because most people I see wearing utilikilts are not very aware. So yeah, if you want to ensure your legacy and just walk around wearing a cargo skirt, you can keep your Android phone in there. You can have your EpiPen. You can have a pocket full of EpiPens.
pocket full of EpiPens, you kill yourself.
Well, if you sit wrong, yeah. But man,
that's how I want to go.
Yeah, just sweaty and crazy. He died like he lived, sweaty and crazy,
smelly and drunk. This lady is a 32-year-old artist, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name. She says, I love a good piece of dolphin meat on my plate, but every time I feel bad for eating an endangered animal. We're soon going to be facing a global food shortage, but I still want to give life. I don't want 30 years of painful menstruation to have been all in vain, and I want to eat good meat.
Oh, no.
This 32-year-old woman, she is thinking about our food shortage as well as reproduction. And what she wants to do is, she wants to deliver a shark. The problem of human reproduction in an age of overpopulation and environmental crisis, she says. She says she wants to basically just be implanted with shark babies.
What?
Yeah. She says, I believe humans could use their uterus as an aquarium or incubator.
What does that have to do with her mens?
She wants to, instead of, for people who don't want kids but like tasty dinners, she wants to give birth to something she can eat.
I think you broke my brain.
She says that the issues of DNA modification are not an issue because the placenta comes from the fetus. She says, I've been assured that it should be possible to create dolphin human or shark human placentas just by modifying the animal's DNA.
Wait, so she's talking about making a race of sewer sharks.
Basically.
Or street sharks.
Assuming her vagina is like a sewer. The even bigger problem, though, is the matter of stopping menstruation in order to gestate an animal. That requires medicine with many unpleasant side effects. That's why she thinks an ideal carrier would be a rich, single, menopausal woman.
Wait, so she doesn't want to do it herself. She wants... Okay, so she
wants... Well, she wants to do it, but she's saying, like, the first person that should do it should be someone other than her. Oh, okay.
So she wants to establish a class of brood mares who create tasty offspring. Yeah, who do nothing but squeeze out affronts to God that can also be a food source.
Yeah. Shark baby.
Shark baby. This is Phil, my baby shark baby.
Don't you want that on a bun or in a wrap?
He never stops losing his baby teeth.
I'm watching
He does lose his baby teeth, but they are quickly replaced with shark teeth.
My God.
He does lose his shark teeth. So,
oh wait, there's another hidden gem in here I just found.
Okay.
There's an important logistics to address, like the size of human uteruses. The woman that I'm speaking of has been talking to a gynecologist to try to figure out how to make hers bigger.
Kegels.
Right?
I can't even find the statement that she's trying to make. What was the dolphin thing?
Oh, he said, you know, a shark or a dolphin.
Wait.
She's open. I mean, she's not closed-minded.
as long as it has fins.
I mean, it's a, you know. It's a 50-50 chance. So,
do you think that she just got the two confused?
I don't really care. You know, people say, I don't really care as long as it's healthy. I don't care as long as it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I thought you were going in an entirely different direction. I was going
to... I didn't. She did.
Oh. She couldn't.
This lady, yeah, I don't know. I can't pronounce her name. But
she couldn't pick a direction and go with
nope.
It. Huh. Yeah. I don't even know. I'm just so related to that. I want to tell you a scary.
Do you have something related to that?
Kind of, yeah.
How sick.
Okay. So
is it about sharking?
No, we've talked about sharking enough. I think. Okay. No, that is somebody who wants to do something impossible with the reproductive tract. And I'm going to tell you about somebody who did do something impossible with her reproductive tract. I thought that this was going to be the scariest, most fucked up thing we talked about today, but no, you snaked that from me. And
did you hit your head and forget about what this podcast is?
I guess we just kind of try and like, so I think that I'm about to describe the way that like either the Antichrist is born or at least like a Damien level, let's say Blade. This is Blade's origin story. It's
pooped out in a Walmart bag.
Oh, you just sneak behind Fishwares. Yeah.
Hmm?
No. So there's this mom who lives in
next to a dumpster behind a Chipotle.
Oh, can you imagine what the dumpster behind a Chipotle smells like?
Oh, it's got to be like, yeah.
Okay, so
we're, Antichrist we're, is like, oh my God, send me back to hell.
Yeah, at least he says at least it's not a Long John Silver's. But no, woman is living in Missouri City, Texas. She's pregnant. And she faints. She starts having a seizure. All that, like, oh no. She's due in 3 weeks. The husband takes her to the hospital. They defibrillate her, and then she dies.
How many people?
What?
How many people defibrillate her?
It was like that scene in Airplane where they tried to calm the hysterical lady. It's just like people with increasingly comic ways to revive her.
Like, it was really weird. There were like 30 doctors with huge egos on the plane.
No. Okay. So she dies and they think, all right, well, we still have a chance to save the kid. They cut her open. They do a C-section. And while they're like, okay, the kid's fine, the kid's safe, they're looking at it. The husband looks back and sees like, oh shit, her heart's beating again. So
it's
they
a witch.
It's a witch. Burn her. So they set her on fire in her hospital bed, and then they
suddenly as he's raising the baby above his head towards the morning sun.
Hospital. No. Then they burn her alive, and then they bury her in a patch of ground that is then salted, so no life will find purchase there. So they like, okay, her. This is now a rescue mission again.
Life will find purchase there. It's, was that like a heavenly ham 10 months a year?
That was good. I liked that. So they put her guts back in, and they sewed her up. And now she's alive. So there now exists in this world a kid that was born to a dead mother and a woman who gave birth while she was dead. Didn't give birth. You know, no man born to a woman, trees marching on the castle, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's crazy, right? So like this kid is gonna start like maybe, you know, like it'll be like real quick, like it'll be looking at a clock and it'll be able to like stop time, you know, like stop it from going for just like a couple of seconds, and then later on, you know, he'll start like just, you know, well, it's a she, her name is like Elena or something, you know, she'll start like you know, like, oh man, I failed my math test, but these numbers, like, oh wait, these numbers are like lotto. And then eventually we will all be her slaves.
Just like, I could just imagine like a child that's overly sensitive, and like whenever anything bad happens to it as a kid, be like, well, you know, do you have any idea what it's like to lose a mom?
This kid like, has yeah, a crush for like, the rest of her life.
Your mom's alive.
Your mom's like wicked alive.
I lost her.
I love it. Do you know how hard it is when a child has to outlive her mother? It happens all the time.
Kid get Social Security for like 4 minutes.
She got 4 minutes of Social Security.
See, that's the problem. That's why we don't have any money.
Oh, yeah. All these kids are getting their dead mom Social Security.
Right?
Yeah, no, their moms are dying. They don't report it. They keep her preserved in a Weekend at Bernie's kind of situation. Whenever the government comes by, they have an elaborate series of pulleys and rigs set up to make her move around and, you know, talk.
No. When a parent dies, the kids get the Social Security benefit until they're no longer minors.
Oh, freeloading kids? What the hell? They should be put into the system like everybody else is.
Speaking of the system for kids.
The Wii U?
Oh, God. Research in teens adds fresh evidence that the 1980s crack baby scare was overblown, finding little proof of any major long-term ill effects in children whose mothers used crack during pregnancy.
Huh.
Some studies have linked pregnant women's cocaine use with their children's behavior difficulties, attention problems, anxiety, and worse school performance. In this review, they reviewed 27 studies involving more than 5,000 11 to 17-year-olds whose mothers had used crack while pregnant. Okay. The studies all involved low-income, mostly black and urban families.
Oh, so they're saying that they were, like, economically disposed, like, predisposed to, like, having those disadvantages anyways because their parents did crack. So it wasn't, like, a physiological thing.
Yeah, it just turns out you're poor and black. It has nothing to do with
drugs. It has literally nothing to do with the crack except for the fact that, you know, your entire family does crack.
Yeah, I mean,
your entire family.
They're not taking the Surgeon General warning off a baggie of crack, but...
Right. But, like, are they saying that, like, kids born immediately with crack in their system are not, like, suffering ill effects? Like, maybe it makes them stronger, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, no, that's definitely not the case. But once they get the crack out of their system and, you know, they're a baby, so what are they going to do to get their next fix? I mean, aside from, you know, breast milk.
Saying that the studies found that the children's family environment or violence were directly related to the teen's performance, regardless of whether their mothers had used crack during pregnancy.
Did I tell you about my crack baby story?
No.
We were at high school, and there we had.
Is that why you dropped out for that semester?
I had to. My baby was getting chills. You know, I just had to be there. had to be there to feed it ice chips.
Yeah, for my three pound 4 ounce crack baby.
you know, it's lived
to 18 months under my grow lamp.
Okay, that's the limit. We just had high school. I had some fucked up times in high school.
God, seventh grade's the worst.
You know, it's an awkward time for everybody. No, I was. I don't even know if my story can live up to that. Oh man, no, I was. A motivational speaker came in, you know, early in my high school career.
We've talked about this.
We have?
Yeah. Remember Dan Davis, captain of the football team?
Oh, yeah. It can't happen to me because I'm Dan Davis, captain of the football team. No. Just so, like, to make a pointless story short, he kept on saying crack baby, and every time it happened, I laughed. Like, audibly. Like,
well, what else are you going to do?
It's just, like, out of context and, like, nowhere. Until I had to excuse myself because I couldn't stop laughing at the word crack baby. See, I hear you. You're holding it back right now. Chris, are you familiar with fan fiction?
Yeah, only what you've told me.
Okay. So fan fiction is the notion that you're a big fan of something, you know, a world, a universe, some characters. And you get on the internet and you write a bunch of stuff using that world, that universe of those characters.
The Mentalist.
Yes. Yeah. So you write The Mentalist, and there's a new character who slightly resembles you, and that character goes in and solves all the problem,
you write,
and everybody
you write
wants
yourself
to.
Into
oh,
the
most
story?
Of the time, yeah. Like self-insert fan fiction is a thing.
Okay.
There's the idea of the Mary Sue. which is the author will write themselves in, but they'll be like really powerful and like everybody wants to do them and blah blah blah. It's like ultimate wish fulfillment, except they're not like creative enough to, you know, A, make their own thing, or B, make it happen in the real world, you know. But yeah, so fan fiction is a thing. It's been quasi legal because, you know, like little kids were writing Harry Potter fan fiction and like that company was going after them and saying, yeah, we're going to need a bunch of money from you because you just infringed on all of our shit. So yeah, but Amazon is riding the wave, of fanfiction.gov. by introducing the new program Kindle Worlds. Right? So before this, fan fiction was impossible to sell because of the copyright thing. However, Amazon is going out to these creators right now, three places. Gossip Girl, Pretty Little Liars, and Vampire Diaries, all of which are owned by Time Warner. And saying like, can people write their fan fiction and sell it on the Kindle marketplace?
Can late middle-aged men write about these girls, please?
please. We'll get to that later. The person will sell it. The author, if it's a novel of over 10,000 words, they get 35% of the net sales. If it is between 5,000 and 10,000 words, they get 20%. And the company make, you know, the IP holder, they make some money, and Amazon makes some money. The author makes some money. Everybody wins.
It's like that letter you get for the book that you can put yourself in, like when you're in school, like the Proudest Parents with Money book.
You mean like Who's Who in American Teens or whatever?
That one, yeah. It's like, oh, you've been selected to send us $40.
Yeah, $40 per book.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing value.
They put you in there.
You get a price break at 10 books.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We got everyone Christmas gifts.
Aha. Uh-huh. And it's just like your name in a list.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
how much
it is.
Is it for like an asterisk?
An asterisk. If you want to create some kind of like meta fiction where, you know, you only got on the list because of your performance enhancing drugs.
Ritalin.
I was going to say Adderall, but we were both on the same trail. Yeah. So
that's a generational difference between you and I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Addies and Ritties. Yeah. You were talking about everybody was on the John Ritter.
It depends on if you want to be a writer or a mathematician.
Pretty much.
Get it?
I don't know. I don't.
Ritties for writing, Addies for adding.
Yeah, so there are two wrinkles to this. First, you can't do anything pornographic, right? So it can't be like, and then this person put on a rubber glove and got it all nice and lubed up and did this. Yeah, you know, so you can't do that. You can't have crossover. You can't have crossover fiction either. So it can't be like it can't be Captain Kirk and Han Solo. Getting busy.
I was thinking about a visit to the Gilligan's Island, but okay.
Oh, they land on the Gilligan's Island planet?
No, like Joey from Friends rents a boat.
But they're all dead as fuck because Friends took place like 60 years after Gilligan's Island.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there's like two huts and they shack up just like they did in the city.
Oh, but it's just Joey, right?
No, it's the whole cast.
Oh, okay. It's the whole cast of Joey.
Yeah, well, it's like what I would write for non-fan fiction, where like tangentially related shows are somehow like brought together on the same bus that crashes.
Wait a minute. Is this just your way of like taking out casts of like five different shows in one story?
That's how I kill a network.
Oh, it's like Battle of the Network Stars, but they
get like putting it down.
Hmm.
Like CBS.
Oh, okay. So it's Battle of the Network Stars, except they have hand grenades instead of
constantly broadcasting shit.
Yes. Huh. That is funny.
Hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, and the other thing, and this is something I like literally did not know. Did you know that 50 Shades of Grey started out as Twilight fan fiction?
Really?
Yeah. But once the author found out you know, that they might have
desperately
had.
Lonely she was.
Yeah. She decided to make some changes.
I connected with my emptiness.
just really, I looked inside and I said hello, and it echoed and it echoed and it echoed. And then I made $1 million.
Amazing what rises from a dead marriage.
Which, it's funny that Amazon's like that their Kindle store policy forbids pornographic, you know, kind of stuff, because that's one of the things that has really pushed e-reader sales is they can take those awful romance novels and then people can read them without shame because, like, oh, they're just holding a Kindle, so maybe they're reading a John Grisham novel, when in reality they're reading some, you know, horrible pap.
Some horrible stuff.
Yeah.
I got one last one for you, man.
Okay.
The latest video in Dove's Real Beauty campaign featured women describing themselves to an unseen forensic sketch artist who drew them as they were described by themselves and then as they were described by a stranger. The sketches based on the stranger's description turned out more attractive. Mm-hmm. Based on the stranger's description turned out more attractive.
Yeah.
Hence Dove's message, you are more beautiful than you think.
Yeah. It's a really good video.
However, in Scientific America explains that Dove is wrong. There is a study in which participants were presented with images of themselves. One was the real image. Others were modified on a computer to look more and less attractive. When asked to select the true image, subjects typically picked a more attractive one. Further studies showed that they really believed this selection. Scientific America takes it a step further. Are you serious? Really? That's you, huh?
Huh. Wow. You
can, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. But really, that's what you think you look like.
Are these scientists like, is part of their training to not make them go, whenever somebody makes a selection?
No, they teach them how to make a non-judgmental, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like,
which is a talent.
Yeah. No, it's.
Scientific America takes it a step further, noting that science shows we tend to think of ourselves as better than we truly are in plenty of ways. Other studies have shown people also overestimate the likelihood they'll do something good, like vote or donate money to charity. Still, more research has found that most people believe that they are above average in many areas, like driving. The positive bias does not exist when people are asked to assess strangers.
So we assume the best for ourselves. It's a differential. It's a gap in self-esteem.
I guess.
To the point of delusion in some cases.
But the problem is that I do not do that.
No, I hate me.
I'm like way, way uglier and worse at things than I kind of am.
Wait a minute. You said I am blah, 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 then I am. Like, what do you think you are?
Like, everything I start to do, I feel like, oh, there's no way that I can do this, and then somehow it gets done.
But, like, I think that the reason that this study was done and what this study is saying is, like, in general, on the balance, people are this way. That might just be because I feel the same way. You know, I have tremendously low self-esteem.
I don't think this is self-esteem, though.
It kind of is. Like,
I mean,
like, what do you think?
Self-awareness.
It's but self-esteem is part of this. Is part of the self-awareness, right? Like, you know, like what is your overall estimation of yourself?
We're constantly being told that no one has any self-esteem. Oh, you know, these advertising and magazines and blah blah blah. Like, it's ruining us.
Right, but. Just like with anything, there's a bell curve, right? So you're going to have on average. So they're talking about on the whole, like, what is this population? However, the people who are most, you know, affected by in the case of Dove, the people who are most affected by, you know, these kind of societal problems, that does speak to them, right? So. We're aberrations, they're operations. On the whole, they're the, people think more highly, more highly of themselves than they should, but there's still large swaths of the population that don't. And that's the problem that Dove is trying to trying to address. That's the audience that Dove is trying to address.
Does bell curve have anything to do with the poor city planning in Philadelphia?
Why do you ask?
Why would they put a road that was supposed to go right through where the bell is?
I think somebody was on crack.
Does not hurt them. Didn't we talk about that earlier?
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So I'm going to tell them some things that they can do, Chris.
Yeah, that's your job.
That's my job. Okay. You can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids where you can find old episodes and also a link to us on iTunes. Please leave us a rating or review. Those are very much appreciated. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids where there is some discussion happening. It's the hip happening place to be. Let me think here. What else is there? If you would like to support the network, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar where you can use the Amazon link. Where you know, you can buy stuff, doesn't cost you anything extra, and then we get a little a cut of that, which helps cover things like bandwidth, hosting, etc. And then just kind of an update on the Kickstarter thing. You're still hearing the notice at the beginning of this episode. You know, that's just network wide. We have met our goal, so we, you know, so watch out for fireballs. We'll be doing the live show at the Portland Retro Games Expo, which is really, really cool. We have stretch goals that we have set up. We're not trying to be greedy, but there is other awesome stuff that we want to do. So if you have not yet backed us, as of the time you're hearing this, you have just a little over 2 weeks to throw in on that. And for that, we really, really tremendously appreciate it. It's been far more successful than we ever could have hoped it would have been. Did I miss anything, Chris?
No, enough low talking.
All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry, America.